So I want to take you with a little bit of a press in my heart about the realities of righteousness. I gave a lesson on this on Tuesday, which, by the way, if you missed it, you can go to the website and you can listen to it again. And if you could, we just ask the Lord for his grace right now. Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes, open the hearts, open the mind of all of us, that we can go forward with your grace in spite of all the emotions that we may have, but that you would give us the next level of what righteousness really means. Amen? We do not know or grow in righteousness. We are made righteous, and righteousness is credited to us. God himself is our righteousness, and he made Jesus to be righteousness unto us. So it's not something that you work up an appetite for and then wait for it to be baked in the oven and then go enjoy. It is something that when God released Jesus on that cross, he took all our deficiencies and he put them on himself. And when we accept him as Lord, we become his righteousness. There is no such thing as growth in righteousness because you've already got the whole package. There is growth in the knowledge of what righteousness means. Are you catching on? Growth in the knowledge of what righteousness means. There is also growth in acting as though we were righteous. There is growth in faith in our righteousness. In other words, how we learn that we have become righteous when we accepted him, we can begin to understand more of what that means and the vitality of its presence. Very few people have any faith in their own righteousness in Christ or in the body because they don't feel connected because of pain, injuries, insults, you name it. Okay? This is an unhappy fact. Until we have confidence in our own standing before the Father, in our own righteousness in Christ, we will never have faith that will bring blessings to ourselves and to others. Did you get that? I want you to close your eyes and I want you to hear this word one more time. Until I have confidence in my own standing before my Father in heaven, and in our own righteousness in Christ or in the anointed, we will never have faith that will bring blessings to ourselves or others. Now, if that truth can begin to unfold on the inside of you, you'll begin to see how we fall short because we don't believe the Word of God. We believe our emotions. We believe our circumstances. We believe in all the things that cancel out all the things that Jesus has done. Faith is destroyed by sin consciousness. Try that one on for size. Say, my faith will be destroyed if I concentrate on my sin consciousness. All of what I was cancels out the minute I say yes to Jesus. It's a reality. And he made me righteous the minute I said yes. It was a done deal. See, it's not about me working myself up to become holy. It has nothing to do with it. It's about me receiving what he already paid for and said, go ahead, receive my righteousness. And we say, but I'm not good enough. Can anybody relate? All right. Faith is built up, made invincible by righteousness consciousness. Oh, what a tongue twister, right? Faith is built up and made invincible by righteousness consciousness. In other words, you've got to be conscious that you're righteous. You've got to be aware that you're righteous. And you need to declare that you're righteous by faith. Romans 5:1 says, I'm righteous by faith, not by actions. How many see their body do something stupid or their mouth say something stupid when you least expect it? Thank you. You relate. You're human. But Jesus took our humanity and he gave us his, what did he give us? His righteousness, his holiness. He gave us all these things as a gift. Now, if we look at only what we think about ourselves or what others think about us, we're going to be heading in the wrong direction. This entire problem rests upon our estimation of the word. If we have a low estimation of the word, which means the Bible, then we will have a low estimation of our righteousness in Christ. If we have a low estimation of the word, our faith will be weak and vacillating. In other words, it'll go from A to Z. It'll swing like a pendulum. But if we believe the word, rest on the word, know that no word from God is untrue, and that God cannot lie, then our faith becomes what? Strong. What happened to Peter when he stood up that first day of Pentecost? He preached to all the people that wanted them dead. Think about it. They had just killed his master, his savior, and he knew it. But he had a boldness to speak out because he knew that Jesus had already taken care of him. He lands in jail because of his boldness. Are you ready to land in jail for your boldness? Will the Lord release angels to get you out of jail? I'm not literally saying a jail, but whatever jail you've put yourself into, whatever lies you believed about yourself will put you in a place where you can't reach out to God. After all, he doesn't love me because I see all these sins I've done. All these sins that you did were washed away by his blood. All of them. I'm going to repeat the last part because I wanted to go into your life. If we believe the word, rest on the word, know that no word from God is untrue, and that God cannot lie, then our faith becomes strong. When we say that God cannot lie, we mean that the word cannot lie. It is the word with which we are dealing. The word is a contract, a covenant, a legal instrument with which we have to do. It is more than a legal document. It is a living document. It becomes a living force in our lives as we act upon it. A low estimate of the new covenant, of the New Testament, will bring low estimate of the work that Christ did. A low estimate of the word and of the work that Christ did is bound to react in our lives. Men and women will see that once there is something weak and inefficient in our lives, when we believe Romans 4:25, it will be manifested in our lives and in our conduct. Who was delivered up on account of our trespasses and was raised because we were declared righteous? So if you didn't write it down, it's Romans 4:25. You were declared righteous. It was a decree. Now, I can tell you that our government can say you are not guilty of whatever things that you have done and declare you free and clear, and if you don't accept it, you're going to stay in the mental jail that you're in. Yes or no? The governor of Massachusetts could say, you're no longer guilty of that murder charge. You're no longer guilty of all these things. And if you don't accept it, you stay in jail mentally. That identifies the same thing that what Jesus did for you. And he did it for me. Now, when you begin to declare that you're righteous, your brain says, but look at what you said yesterday. Look at what you did this morning. Look what you did last night. Is that a righteous act? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If it's not righteous, who is at fault? It's the old nature. The Adam part of you, the Adam part of me, the Eve part of you, the Eve part of me. Yeah, you say, wait a minute, I'm not male and female. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, you're male and female, every one of you. You know why? Because the scripture says that your soul is the female part of you, mind, will, and emotions. The spirit part of you is male. So when the scriptures talks about females don't speak in church, he's not talking about women. He's talking about soulish stuff that should not be coming out. It's a translation that needs to be understood. Why am I saying that to you? Because when God created man, he didn't create him without the woman on the inside. So it's not about gender. It's about him creating a new place for them to walk, male and female. It's a place where they can be delivered because they are righteous in Christ. People will feel it is our conversation. But if we doubt the efficiency of his finished work, every phase of our life will show it. You hear me? The reason people cannot get their healing is because of a low estimation of the Word, or the Word made flesh, meaning Jesus, and of the finished work of Christ, the Anointed One. When we have a proper estimation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we know that by his stripes we are healed, and we need no one to pray for us. Sometimes it's handy to have somebody pray, but sometimes it's just to acknowledge, he already healed me. Can I receive it? Well, I'm not holy enough yet. Well, that's an irritation to God, because you're saying that what Jesus did on that tree wasn't good enough to clean me and you up. Look at your neighbor. Say, get a good idea today. You were healed when Jesus suffered. It's about time you receive it. You don't really need anybody to pray for you. Just claim the promise and receive it by faith, because you're already righteous. It's been decreed. Hallelujah. We know we are healed, and with joy we thank him for it. All this trying to be worthy, trying to be righteous, crying and agonizing before the Lord is a product of a low estimation of the integrity of the Word of God. Ah. So I don't believe what he did because I'm still working on my own case. Would you give it up? Watch the next level. When we know that the Word is true, and that we are what the Word says we are, and that we can do all the Word says we can, we begin at once to take our place, assert our authority, and enjoy our privileges in Christ. We grow in grace. Grace is love unveiled. Grace is love unveiled. Grace is love in action. And grace is love doing things through me and you. You know, without love, you've got nothing. Without grace, you aren't going to make it. Because you're going to see the old nature acting out when you least expect it. You're going to hear your mouth say stupid things. And you may need to make some changes in how your attitude is. Whatever it happens to be. I'm not saying you're too high or too low. You look to him because he's the one that knows you and me better than we know ourselves. You might have a weakness over here. The other might have a weakness over there. The body of Christ may have a weak arm on the left, but somebody else has a strong arm on the left. So they'll be able to what? Do the work of the Lord together. That's what our sister was sharing. We need each other. We need every member of the body. All right? We can grow in love. We can let love dominate us. Then we will reveal Jesus in our conduct. We can grow in love until our whole life is saturated with it. Until every motive will be born of it. Until every word will have its fragrance. We are righteous from the time we are born again. Faith grows as we walk in the Word, as we understand what He did for us, as we comprehend it to a deeper degree, our righteousness begins to manifest and we begin to say, wait a minute, I can receive my healing. I can receive and I can walk in it. We grow in knowledge of our righteousness, what it can mean to us and its vast privileges and responsibilities. So it goes with a double-edged sword, right? We do not grow in sonship, though we may grow in the knowledge of what sonship means. Perhaps the clearest definition of what we are in Christ is given in Hebrews 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. God calls the church his righteous one. Why are you declaring you're not? Are you calling God a liar? Are you calling Jesus a failure? But you understand, he speaks of us individually as his righteous one. If we draw back into it, and into the sense realm, feeling, wills, and emotions, and of dead works, we rob him of the joy that belongs to him. How many of you have a child? Put your hand up. Thank you. If you have one child, and somebody picks on that child and says, I'd like that child dead, what happens to you on the inside? Tell me what happens. Yeah! Rage flares up. Don't pick on my kid. Papa's saying the same thing about you, and you're saying, ah, but I ain't worthy. How dumb is that? How dumb is it? And we argue with the Lord. And he says, you are my righteous one. I love you. And you say, well, I'm not lovable. Because you don't love yourself. Get over it. Amen. Say, I'm getting better at loving me. Because I'm righteous in Christ. My actions may fail. My emotions may fail. But Christ never fails. The anointed one in me is righteous to the nth degree. Jesus is his high priest. In John 17, he said, verse 3, and this is the life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. The word true means real. That they should know thee, the only real God. We may have many theories and facts which men have gathered concerning God, but we will never know him as a father until we receive eternal life. We will never know the real Christ until we receive eternal life. We may know about him, may have read volumes about him, but until we receive eternal life, we will never know him in reality. Jesus is the light of the world. He is life. The life is the oil which, when ignited by love, gives light. This love, God, and this love, Christ, are both living realities. He says, I am the way and the reality of life. Real philosophy is a search after God. The moment the philosopher finds eternal life, he stops being a philosopher and becomes a realist. God is love. Eternal life is the love nature of God. Close your eyes. Say, eternal life is really the love nature of my Heavenly Father, who is my God. That's eternal life. And I've got it already. I don't need to wait for it. I'm already born of him. Hallelujah. When we receive eternal life, we receive his love nature. Then that love nature begins to dominate us and gains the ascendancy in our lives. That's what you've described, young lady. When you said, I'm following him instead of my own self. I'm following after what he wants for me in spite of my emotions. I'm going with this promise that I'm doing because I've learned that when I do what he tells me to do, I get results. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He only did what Papa said, or Papa showed by his Spirit. 1 John 4:16 tells us about abiding in love, making our home in love. Woo! Making our home in love? How about it knowing part-time? No. Vivette says, no way. No way, Jose. It's not going to happen here. I used to live there, but I'm not living there anymore. And we know that we have and have believed the love that God has in our case. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God. And God abideth in him. Notice the harmony. It is a love life. We are beginning to walk in him, and with him it makes a companion of him. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. It's going to happen if you submit. Can we ask for anything more beautiful than that? Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with us, no matter how humble it is. They will make it beautiful. They, Jesus and the Father. They will make it a safe place for children to be born. No quarreling, no bitterness, no divorce can ever come into the home where Jesus lives. Well, he's not living in my house because I'm only seeing what? You're seeing what you're feeling. And that's the soul realm. And I'm not criticizing. I've got one of those. I don't like my soul realm sometimes. Amen. It's okay to have one. You were designed by God to have one. But you don't let it rule as best you can. As best you can. You know, and you may have a good day and you can rule it over and say, no, it's not going to happen. But the next day, it comes higher. Amen? The tests will increase until you pass. They will make it beautiful. This home life with Jesus is the mother of faith. It makes our home relationship beautiful. We meet dishonesty and faithfulness without saying, an unkind word. We enter into a new kind of life where we never think of being neglected, forgotten, or ignored. We never remember anything that is unkind. Why? Because that's love. This new love is life. This new life is love. We forgive those who are dishonest because this new life has taken possession of me. When we are taking Jesus' place in the earth, we are loving as Jesus would love. We are giving as Jesus would give. We are as helpful as the Master would be in our place. We live in Him. He lives in our love. His strength is our strength. His ability, ours. We are His own love slaves. We love Him, and He loves us. We love Him, and He loves us. In spite of the weakness, in spite of the insults, in spite of the pain. And all of these can happen to you on Mother's Day. Amen?
Amen.
And if they happen, you go higher by choice, not by the emotional rage that could come up. How many have ever wanted to just chop down a few people so their life would be a little more comfortable? Thank you. But the Lord laid down His life for the very ones that wanted Him dead. It's not comfortable. It hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. Is that allowed? Uh-huh. Or in plain English, it hurts like hell. And it will hurt. But Jesus said, I have given you a path to follow. It is the path of dying to self. It's the path of dying to self. And it's not comfortable. It hurts. But after that, He will give you resurrection. Without a death, you will have no resurrection. Amen? So with the grace that you need, whatever level you're at, and we're all different, whatever level you have, I will be interceding for you when you least expect it. I will be interceding and flowing with you even if you're not in town. You don't have to be in town. You don't have to be in even anywhere close. Because the Holy Spirit is all around and He hovers over this entire earth. So it doesn't matter where you are. He can pick you up and He can deposit you in the heart of the one that's ready to intercede for you. So you're never alone. Close your eyes. You've heard enough. Say, Father, this truth that you are resident inside my heart and that you are love from beginning to end and you love me greater than I could ever love myself. Because you know the price that Jesus paid for my freedom. I will walk in that freedom. It's a decision I make. It's not an emotional flare-up. I'm choosing to really believe that it is worth going forward. Even on Mother's Day, with a few wounds, a few scars from the last experience. But God will heal me. He's healing all of us because we're resubmitting today. His plan instead of mine. Keep healing me. Keep healing the women in my life. Keep healing the men in my life. Because it's all about Him being formed in me. And I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord. I'm choosing to go forward. And those who can't stand my guts, I give them to Jesus. He'll fix them.
so.
He'll heal them.
Because
he's big enough to do it. By his Holy Spirit. Prepare me for Pentecost.
Prepare me for
the Holy Ghost.
And the fire that you've prepared.
To burn out the old.
And to keep the good.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Wow. Tell your neighbor you're righteous, whether you feel it or not.
You're righteous.